you were the first one to awaken the president in the morning? Or why were you with him at 7 every morning?
He liked to work from bed in the morning. And so usually two or three of us would go up there, Marvin Watson. I was not in that group the first year. So the last 3 years, it was usually Marvin, Jack Flinney, and myself, or Marvin and me, and then me and Larry Temple. We would assemble all the memos and things he had to read, what he called night reading. And if he didn't finish it up before he left the Oval Office to go back to the mansion, it was all piled up and sent to him over in the mansion. And he would get up early, 6 o'clock or so, and start reading the night reading. And so we would come in about 7 o'clock and go over the assignments, everything that needed to be done for that day, and he would vent or what have you. This is a good example of how Bill and I had a sort of a special relationship. One morning, I didn't get there till about 7:30. I walked in, and he said, "You're late." And I said, "I'll make up for it by leaving early." Well, I thought, why in the hell did you say that? You know, but he just gave you that look with that sort of crooked little look. But he worked from bed till about 9:30. We would go back to the West Wing. He would get dressed and come over, and we'd start the public appointments, usually around 10, go till about 2, and he would go back, have lunch, and take a two-hour nap, get his pajamas on, come back around 4:30, and start the afternoon meetings, and then work into the night till about 11 or so, and I was there from early on.
Could he sleep? Did he complain about not being able to sleep?
Most of the time he could sleep. He didn't sleep that long, but most of the time he could sleep. Sometimes he was really worried about something. Most often it was Vietnam. And he worried about Chuck Robb, his son-in-law, who was over there. I had to give him one cable that looked as though Chuck had been killed. That really hit him, you know, right in the stomach. Turned out, obviously, not to be true. But he would get up in the middle of the night and go down to the Situation Room in the West Wing basement, particularly after he had ordered a raid, an air raid or what have you, and see if the planes came back, how many casualties. Committing troops was not an abstract thing for him. It was a very personal thing, like he was sending his own children.
He leaves office in January of 69. You return to Oklahoma. Did you stay in touch with him after he left office for a long period of time?
Yeah, we would talk by phone. I had handled the transition to the Nixon administration. Basically, my instructions were make sure the entire government is cooperative, and that Richard Nixon and all of his team on January 20th at 12 noon, when he takes office, is fully ready to take over the government and is fully briefed, etc. That was my charge. So I had gotten to know most of those people. So when he felt that there was something he wanted or was slighted or what have you, he would call me and I would intervene with the administration. My successor in the Nixon administration was Bob Haldeman. I would call Bob or Dwight Chapin or someone like that to get it straightened out.
Were you ever in the same room with Nixon?
Oh, yeah.
What was that about? In the transition, you'd be with him?
Sure.
And speak to him, and did he ask you questions?
I was never with Nixon alone. It was usually with Johnson, and it had to do with the mechanics of the transition. I'll never forget him telling me, because I was trying to make sure I knew who was his people, and basically he said, if you can't get me, always talk to John Mitchell. He speaks for me. Well, Lyndon Johnson had nobody speaking for him. That was just kind of a shocker to me that the president-elect would have someone who he felt totally comfortable in making decisions for him, which, again, led to, I think, some of the Watergate stuff that later happened.